Holy Spirit, we just want to acknowledge that when there's a foundation stone that's not of God, that you will expose it. So I'm asking, Father, that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a spirit to perceive that you really are speaking to all of us tonight, to go higher and to trust that there will be light at the end of the tunnel that will draw us and not let us go. Amen. On Sunday, I pressed of God to speak about the baptism of light. And I'd like to quote 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we touched on Sunday. But the Lord is not done with this message. The baptism of light is the culmination of what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Now, I want to remind you that Paul is a Jew. He celebrates the feasts of the Jews. He does not disqualify them, which confirms your word. God's not done with the Jews.
Amen.
In fact, when Paul would enter a city, he would go to the synagogue first. Speak the word, and if they rejected, he went on to the people. So the baptism of light is the culmination of what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. We all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. Here's a little piece to the puzzle that might be helpful. The word transformed is the exact same word that's translated transfigured in the gospel. So when you're speaking about the transfiguration, Mark 9, you'll see that it's really a transformation. So, the transfiguration, the baptism of light, you see, this is what awaits the overcoming church at the end of the age. It's not past the rapture, which that's my addition. The point that I'm trying to give you is this. When Jesus came, he was the Lamb, Passover. He sent his Holy Spirit. Guess what that was?
Pentecost.
What about tabernacles? Did he complete it? Oh, but where was he at the Feast of Tabernacles when Peter, James, and John were up on top of the mountain? And Peter wants to build a booth. Why does he want to build a booth? Because it's the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's giving them an example of what is to come. Ah, okay. As Jesus said in John 17, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected. That they may be perfected in unity. So that the world may know, that means the dog lovers, so that the world may know that you sent me. And love them even as you have loved me. John 17, 22 through 23. This is why when we see darkness covering the earth, a part of me is encouraged. Why? Because, for it is in context of deep darkness covering the people that Christ utters his command. There's your shirt, girl. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Verses 1 and through 3. Now let's go to Isaiah 60. Why do we go to Isaiah 60? Because, again, the Lord, who is faithful, is really prophesying more than about our Savior Jesus. He's prophesying to us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. Notice it's thick darkness. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Now, how does it happen that he literally is declaring that you're going to be different than them? Not by your words, but by your appearance. Nations will come to your light. Why? Because you're radiating it. And kings to the brightness of your dawn. When does the light come? When the dawn comes in. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. Now, I'm going to stop right here. When I was part of the choir at St. Anne's Church, I had a friend of mine who was a friend of our family, and he had two daughters. And I started in that choir, I was 16. He was a very fearful dad, and he was probably in his middle 30s. And he has one daughter left, but in fact, I just saw one of his grandsons a little while ago. But this man was tormented by fear. Fear of heights was an extreme problem for him. So I was a tenor, and so the tenor sat in the back because we had louder voices. The bass sat in the front pew, and there was only three pews, and you were going to be at the banister rail, okay? So he said to me, I want to join the choir with you as long as I can stay next to you on the third pew. That was serious for him. Even going up the stairs, he had to look up. Otherwise, it would really torment him. Well, there was a song in French that I sang quite a few times. And it was the Daughters of Zion. The whole song, I didn't understand. I had no knowledge of the word. But it was a gorgeous song, and it sang about your daughters are going to be carried. And he would weep every time. And so I'm telling you this because there's a background piece of info that I want to let you know how God works. So I would say for the next 5 years, maybe 7 years, as often as I would sing this solo during communion, that man literally would break up. That would just, it would shatter him. The anointing would come, okay, and it would literally shatter him. Now, my wife enjoyed the song. It was a gorgeous song. It had lots of beautiful words. But did I understand what they meant? Absolutely not. It was just beautiful words. After, fast forward now, I'm at Grace Church of Christ. I have this crisis of faith. I finally understand that there's going to be a baptism of light. I get that now. Okay? So I'm going home at night, probably around 10 o'clock, and I get into the car. And guess what the song that comes out, because the teaching was on Isaiah 60. Okay? I'm in the car, and the Lord said, now sing your song in French. I am not connecting the dots at that point. So I turn the car, I go on the highway, on 291, it's not too bad, all right? The traffic is not too bad. I get to the song, Fille de Sion, which is Daughters of Zion. I get to this part about you will radiate. And now I begin to weep. I said, why was the anointing on this man? It's because it was the word that was actually activated in him every time I sang the song. And he would say to me, are we doing it again pretty soon? Because it just blessed him. Okay? Not because I was such an expert. It's because of the anointing. Now I'm driving home, and for the first time, I'm under the anointing. I bawled all the way home. Sang the song several times over. I knew it by heart because I sang it so many times. I didn't try to learn it. It happened. And then the Lord said to me, do you understand that my word has no effect on those who are in darkness? That was a reason to cry. Because there's hundreds of people downstairs. I don't know who else it touched, but it touched my friend. When he passed away, I was, let's say, a lot younger than him, but I had so much freedom, and he was jealous of my freedom. Okay? And I know that because he would say, I want to be like you. Well, I didn't have the answers. I had no clue what I had. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
And you don't know what you're capable of until you do it. And when you activate your soul and you say, be quiet and let my spirit sing. Okay? Okay, Lord. All right. I got you. All right. That was one point of letting you know how many years, okay? I would say the song and this gentleman, 1960s. The anointing hit me in the 1980s, which took how many 20-something years later? Because that was 85, 86, 87, somewhere in there. Okay? Okay. Another piece to the puzzle. Pieces that are put in by God that used you to bless others that you don't know is a blessing to you. That's what I'm trying to focus on right now. I didn't understand the power of the living word, but I was accustomed to singing it. Okay? So now, fast forward from, I would say, 1970-something, maybe middle 70s. 4, 5, whatever. We have a gentleman that comes and he wants to lead the choir. The lady that was one of the nuns that used to do the job was called out and left town. All of the nuns closed up shop and they left. So he asked the pastor if he could become the leader of the choir. So I would say for 6-7 months, he would lead the choir on Sunday morning. And of course, you switch leadership. It's like, you know, you don't know what you're doing. Okay? So he says to us, how would you like to do an operetta? And maybe we can do dances for the church. It's called The Seven Last Words of Christ. Okay? So if you ever want to hear something different, there is an operetta available called The Seven Last Words of Christ. Well, because I have a high voice, and a powerful one at that time, the words that the Lord had me sing as a solo was, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." So, fast forward my infilling of the Holy Ghost, which was 77. My, let's say, transformation that began when I started to actually, because I had studied the Bible for a number of years. I started at 27. 37, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So the light changed, okay? And down the road, I'm reading in the Word about the words of our Savior, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." So one day, I'm in the car and I'm singing. Just singing, worshiping songs, giving thanks to the Lord for what he's done. And I heard, "Why don't you sing to me what you used to sing to me?" And you gave us a song tonight, and I was blessed. So I started to sing the seven last words of Christ. I never made it. I couldn't go further. Because you see, now the contents was not just words. There was an anointing. Wept all the way home. What I'm saying to you is I'm trying to encourage you that you're not finished in gaining revelation. You don't know where you've been until the anointing comes and literally your soul and its hold on your spirit, because your soul controls for years, and all of a sudden a chunk falls off, and now the anointing can go through and change what's going on in you. So, understanding that I commended my spirit to the Lord during, I can't tell you how many times, because we practiced every week, twice a week, with a whole crew. We were 30-something, okay? And then we put on, we did it 2 weekends, I believe. So we did it Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, 3 days, for the church people. And it was invited, and they sold tickets or whatever. They passed a basket. I don't remember the details. But I can tell you it was a real major change in the church afterwards. Because again, the word was given out. But there was a lot of parts, and it was well done. This young man had trained in Boston at the conservatory. So he had good abilities. Why am I saying this to you? God's investment of who you are did not start last week, last year, or the year before. It started from the moment that you were placed in your mother's womb. It started with what he invested in you before you entered your mother's womb. Now let's back this up. Verse 4, lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy, and the wealth of the seas, with an S, will be brought to you. That's when you've got a clean deck. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar. I will adorn my glorious temple. Notice it's I will. And who's the temple? Us. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like doves to their nests? Surely the islands look for me, to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, not church. For he has endowed you with splendor. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. That's Israel. Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations. Their kings led in triumphant procession, for the nations or kingdoms that will not serve you will perish. Judgment. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you. The pine, the fir, and the cypress together, to adorn the places of my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place of my feet. The sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. I want to pause there. Now, you remember the message that I gave on Sunday was based on this as well as quite a few other things. But last night, my wife says to me, maybe we should listen to Jim Baker tonight. I said, yeah, sure. So it was their 4th of July celebration. He was celebrating 60 years of ministry. He started at 19. And his first official request to go minister to a church was 60 years ago. Cindy Jacobs and her husband were the guests. Okay? Well, guess what? She prophesied Isaiah 60 over him. And of course, they started to talk about all the prophetic times that they had been together. And he's advertising his book, You Can Make It. And so we listened to the program, and it was very, very good. But I was jumping inside because this is all of what God showed me Sunday. Now it's confirming on the TV thing from the 4th of July, which is kind of cool. It wasn't as cool as this. We listened to it until about, I don't know, it must have been 10:30. I think finally it was time for us to depart the television. So I got up, I took my wife's hand, and I said, do you know what this means? She says, no, I haven't got a clue. I said, 39 years ago this week, you and I were at PTL, and we were in our little tent that we borrowed from my godson, We had two cars at the time. We had a big station wagon, but we also had a small Chevrolet Monza. And we had taken that car because that's all we were, just the two of us. The tent and all our goodies in the back, and off we went. Because we couldn't get a hotel room because we had booked too late because of the sale of the building and all that had finally finished the end of June. So I said, do you remember what happened on that 4th of July? She says, oh, yes. Make a long story short, they had advertised on television, you know, come with your families, come to the 4th of July parade, okay? Well, believe it or not, we decided that we were going to go have brunch because the parade was supposed to be at 1 o'clock, okay? Which means that all the singers were going to be out there. They're going to have floats, and they're going to have all these things. And we're very excited because we're going to, okay? So we go in, and we stand at the door. The hostess says, we're kind of crowded. Would it be okay if we kind of fill up each booth? Because we had said two. And I said, no, it's not a problem. My wife and I will sit on one side, and if you've got two other people, that's okay. So a lady behind us says, my mom and I are just the two of us. Could we join you? It was at the Little Horse Cafe. So we went and sat down. They brought us coffee and the brunch food and all that good stuff. And we started to talk, and we started with a prayer. These people from the Midwest. And we started to minister to them that, you know, we were from New England. And, of course, our accent was a giveaway. Do you know what time we left the Little Horse booth? 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon. We never saw the parade. We ministered to them. We ended up with more snacks. And you know what? 2 days later, my wife got baptized in the Holy Ghost after 5 years of crying to receive Holy Spirit. I said, it's 39 years this week. That's a pretty good number. It's like Jack Benny, you know, 39. So, you know, God has his little pieces to your puzzle that he is not going to fail to use. Whatever he has invested in you will come to life as the decks are cleared and prepared for the Lord to bless you, because he's got silver and gold prepared. And then Cindy says, oh, and I got to give you the best, to Jim Baker. She says, I saw the camels. Oh, he says, I hate camels. They stink. I said, yeah, but they carry wealth. And so I'm thinking of our camels. I'm thinking of how many times God used that same word to keep us alive financially, which we don't talk about very much. But we've been strained every month, month after month after month. But God has miraculously kept us financially, and we did not have to touch the reserve. That's a praise report to all of you that have done your work, and your obedience was carried out diligently. Why am I saying this? Because we're in a test. And if you don't think it's, let's say, a test, some of you, maybe it's a lighter weight one than the others, but there are some that really have had it rough for the past few months, several months. So, I want to take you back now. Verse 12. For the nations or kingdoms that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the pine, etc., etc. 14, the sons of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet. and will call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. When Cindy prophesied these words over Jim last night on television, I know it happened on the 4th, he began to weep. That man has been crucified by religious people, by political people, yet he was capable of ministering to, I can't tell you how many presidents on a personal basis. For years, that ministry was pressured and oppressed by religious folks. Nobody knows what that man went through. And Cindy pointed out, she says, this book is a must for those who have wondered why you go through so much. And I thought that was pretty cool. Why you go through so much. It is now the time when he's under a lot of pressure because he's already had a word to build a big building for the prophets. And he's opened up a network for the prophetic. And the word came again last night to confirm that he's not done living yet. Okay? He almost died. He came this close when he had that stroke. He was babbling like a real broken person. And it was kind of cute because he confessed, he says, you know, he says, my energy levels is probably 20% of what I was accustomed to. And Cindy turned around and she says, your 20% is my 100%. And it made him laugh. And it was a beautiful ceremony that we did watch. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that the promises of God are true. And the last scripture that I want to go to is Daniel chapter 12. I want you to take Daniel chapter 12 very seriously. Verse 1, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Now, I've heard some of the words that were given July 4th on that victory. And I believe one of them had a word about Michael being released to the United States so that it will come to life. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, who is that? That's the church. Will be delivered. Not say might be. Will be delivered. Multitudes will sleep in the dust of the earth, will awake. So you've got resurrection. Okay? Last night, Cindy's husband pointed out, I believe it was him, who said that he is not knowing of three individuals that literally were raised from the dead. One of them died of COVID. The paperwork was already in, but he couldn't tell us who it was. But the Lord raised him back from death. And so that's happening. Okay? He said there were two others, but he didn't want to go into details. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise, that's verse 3, will shine like the brightness of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's your future. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Father, I just believe that the promise you gave to each and every one who's listening to this word, will have a hope that's formed inside by your Holy Ghost. And it will be so strong that whenever they're tested, this word will come back to them and they will arise to a new level of grace and revelation, personal revelation, that they will shine like the stars and the heavens will be in competition with the light that radiates from their spirit. Because, Father, each one, I believe, that receives this word will come alive in Christ, for the anointing will break the yoke of the soul, and the flesh will reap the benefits of a fully alive spirit, releasing healing into every fiber of their being. In Jesus' name, I pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
You got it. Any additions?
In the end.